Germany's coalition government is saved for now, and we hear why musicians in Zambia are calling for a better deal.
Lately, we've been experiencing a situation also where the corporate sector tends to give more support to foreign artists.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vivienne Nunes. Good morning. German Chancellor Angela Merkel has convinced her Interior Minister not to resign, putting an end to a row over migration that threatened to end her four-month-old government's coalition. The BBC's Jenny Hill explains how an agreed three-point plan has calmed the political waters, at least for now.
She's now agreed to a plan which involves transit centres at the border. Now, we understand these would work on the same basis as airports. Technically, they're within the German border, but they're not technically on German soil. People would be held there and then sent back to those countries of origin. Where there's no bilateral agreement with one of those countries of origin, they'd be turned away at the border, subject to an agreement with Austria. As you've probably guessed, the devil's in the detail. Looks like a great compromise for Mrs. Merkel on paper. But she's giving a lot away here, and there are a lot of questions still. First of all, Mrs. Merkel knows that the SPD, her main coalition partners, are likely to object to this. Their leaders are saying, you know, yep, we're glad there's a compromise here. Within the party, there's turmoil. They are not going to like the transit centres. They've objected to them in the past. They're unlikely to let those go through. The big question is, why did Angela Merkel give so much away here? She went into those talks with Horst Seehofer on the face of it with the upper hand, the support of her party, that EU migrant deal, which means that in theory, people shouldn't really be coming to Germany. I suspect that, yes, on the face of it, she had the support of her party, but you can be pretty sure that there were MPs within her own Conservative ranks who were putting the pressure on, saying, look, we'll support you for now, but you've got to put this migration question to bed. For now, the coalition looks safe, but watch for the rows to come. The SPD may well tear itself apart over this. And you know what that means for Mrs. Merkel's coalition government and, of course, for her political career too.
Jenny Hill. Let's do the numbers. Shares of mining giant Glencore dropped 12% after receiving a subpoena from the Department of Justice requesting documents related to its business in Nigeria, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Venezuela. The DOJ is probing whether the company broke US money laundering laws. And fresh figures showed Turkish inflation jumped more than 15% in June from a year ago. That put fresh pressure on the lira, which is down nearly 20% against the US dollar. Countries that are particularly vulnerable to climate change, including Kenya, Bangladesh, and Vietnam, are paying significantly more to borrow from the financial markets as investors price in environmental risks. That's the finding of a new report by Imperial College and SOAS University of London, which argues that countries disproportionately affected by climate change could pay an extra $170 billion in interest rates over the next decade. Here's study co-author Dr. Charles Donovan.
So a country like Kenya, which would be suffering maybe not from such dramatic things like hurricanes, but something very long-lived like drought, which begins to affect agricultural production, which then begins to affect exports and ultimately has an impact on the country's bottom line. These are the kinds of things that we see that are deteriorating the ratings of these countries with regards to their international standing and ultimately ends up having them pay higher interest costs.
Dr. Donovan says it's a cruel irony that the countries which most need investment to deal with the effects of climate change are the ones most likely to face higher debt costs.
When you look backwards, our estimates were somewhere between $40 and $62 billion of additional interest costs over the past decade. So this is something that is happening now. It has been happening over the past years and will continue to grow. What is needed is for the international community to think about risk mitigation at the country level that can help pool these risks, ultimately transfer these risks, insure these risks in a way that we can avoid some of these impacts.
Charles Donovan. He's one of Zambia's best-known music stars, and he's caused a bit of a stir in recent years, not just for his music, but because of the support he received from, well, one very high-profile fan. The artist is Brian Biembia. He's better known across Zambia as B-Flo, and this is his story.
I found myself getting an invite to the White House. I had been selected to go for a program called the Young African Leaders Initiative, and in his speech, President Barack Obama singled me out.
While in the U.S., he's learned about our healthcare system, met the founder of an American HIV/AIDS organization, and now he plans to start a record label for music about social change. So, Brian, we're proud to be your partner. I've only got time for one more question.
Mr. President, out of all the artists in the world, Why did you choose to endorse B-Flow?
And my Music for Change initiative is now affiliated to the Obama Foundation. And this has just changed my life and changed a whole lot of things about
feeling
my career.
Feeling it like aroma cider. Feeling it ita yapa Zambia. Musai vale kuti.
This is my first hit record was called Boom Boom Boom, which means heartbeats. In terms of making the money off the sales, I did not make any at all. But I think I made quite some good money when it comes to, you know, performances and people trying to hire me for events. But the record that I would say really did well in terms of selling was the title track of my second album, which was called No More Kawilo, which means No More Loneliness. There's a lot of piracy, and lately we've been experiencing a situation also where the corporate sector tends to give more support to foreign artists. Like, we see a lot of artists come out of West Africa and they come into Zambia, and when you hear the kind of money that they go away with and try to compare it with what a Zambian artist is getting, it's a shame. I think that things are beginning to change. Thanks to the internet, for example, thanks to good music, we're getting opportunities to go to another country, perform there, make some money out there. These things are beginning to happen.
That was the artist known as B-Flow, whose story was brought to us by our reporter Will Bain in Zambia. In London, I'm Vivian Nunes with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.